This morning's scripture is from 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Christopher. Boy, are we glad you're here. We do need more moisture. So when you pray for it, pray specifically that it will not come in the form of ice. Rain is fine. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, you were saying, I remember this scripture being read last Sunday morning. And I remember the challenge that the preacher gave in regard to this lesson. This morning, this really is just a springboard into a different direction than I went last Sunday morning. The truth is, you and I are closer to heaven than we were yesterday. There's one less day left in our bucket. So that means we're getting closer to eternity. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, with the realization, knowing that eternity exists, that the church is going to be that one entity that gets off of this earth and makes it to heaven, then there is a certain expectation that God is looking for within you and I, and it is growth. Growth. Not that we get to a point and we say, okay, I've grown enough, but growth, where for the rest of our lives, there will be areas that we can and will grow in. I want to begin today in John the 15th chapter. In the 15th chapter, we're looking at a principle, or the principles, depending upon how you want to view it, whether it be singular or plural. But in dealing with our theme for this year, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is this understanding. It's not all based on what I myself do. God works in the lives of his children to bring about growth. And so in John the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 1 and going through verse 8, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Yes, there are a lot of principles there, but here's the truth that cannot be looked beyond. If we remain with Jesus, we will grow. If we stay rooted in Jesus Christ, if we will do what God asks us to do, we will grow. We will produce fruit. And there will be a change found in you and I. The three things that I would pull from this. Number one, Jesus talks about abiding in him brings growth. That's just all that there is to that. That means that I am not the same guy I was in 1979. Yes, things have changed on the outside, but things have changed on the inside too. And that's the way God intends for us as Christians, that we are moving. I know when I first became a Christian and I was working at Cessna, and I would go out to work and there would be people who would ask me questions about the Bible, and I had no idea where an answer would come from or what the answer would be. And so I would make phone calls, especially to Bonnie's mother. She was a stay-at-home mom, and she helped me with a lot of scriptures, and so I would try to give people scriptures in regard to the questions that they asked. But it was very, very disappointing to me to find out that they really didn't want to know what God had said. They just wanted me to be busy. They didn't really want to hear. But if you and I hear, we will continue to grow. Also, obeying Jesus, not just abiding, but obeying Jesus, means that God is going to make me more fruitful. Because, as we read there in verse 2, that God the Father prunes every branch that bears fruit. That means I'm going to be able to bring forth even more fruit. Lastly, in John 15, when he gets down here to verse 8, he says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Being fruitful proves discipleship. Now, I don't have time to go into the discussion today that follows. It seems out of place that from verses 9 through verse 17, that all of a sudden there is this discussion of love. And some people might wonder why that discussion of love, that really doesn't fit with the previous 8 verses. That is the fruit the previous 8 verses are talking about. I know that one of the very first times I heard an old gospel preacher was in 1979 at the Mid-Continent Soul Winning Workshop at Century 2. There was a fellow there whose name was G.P. Holt out of Chicago. Fine, fine fellow, fine old-time black preacher. He knew how to get the amen out of people, unlike me. And he was telling about Christianity and how that the fruit of Christians is other Christians. You don't find that in the New Testament. You read Galatians chapter 6 and you tell me what the fruit of a Christian is. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, if I'm attached to the vine produces other Christians. I don't produce other Christians, but I produce fruit within me, which is the love that is talked about in verses 9 through 17 of John chapter 15. Enough about that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, this other passage, which is complementary of Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and following, which talk about the fruit of the Spirit, Peter put it a different way by saying this in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So there is a challenge that Peter is issuing to us. It is, if you have faith, great. But add to that faith, as he says there in verse 5, goodness. You've got faith and goodness? Great. Add to that faith and goodness knowledge, and on down the list he goes. So it's the concept that we must always be moving forward toward God and never sliding back from where we once were. If we are not growing forward, we are definitely sliding backwards. And the Bible does talk about backsliding Christians. We don't want to be that. So the principles are very important. If we do what God wants us to do, God will cause growth. That's all there is to it. That's the basic principle. Secondly, the possibilities. We look at ourselves in a mirror and think, well, we are so limited, we are finite. And to a degree, we are finite. We can only live on this planet so long. And then our time will come to an end, whatever that time may be. We are finite beings. But the reality is, we can be more than we ever thought we could be. In the third chapter of Ephesians, the Bible talks about trusting in God and coming to a realization that God is able, even if we think we are not. So in Ephesians chapter 3, begin reading with me at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, that is God, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There are so many things that could be said about those verses. But the reality is, when we start putting our faith to work, last week I talked about Matthew chapter 25 and about how that there was a man that had 5 talents and a man that had 2 talents and a man that had 1. The 5-talented man gave 5 more. How many does that make? He's a 10-talented man. The 2-talented man gained 2 more. How many does that make him? He's a 4-talented man. And even the 10-talented man can grow more than 10. And the 4-talented man can grow more than 4. And the 1-talented man could have become a 2-talented man who could have become a 4-talented man. The possibilities are there. God can help us be more than we have ever been, and it doesn't matter how old we are. We still have the opportunity and the possibility to grow to be even more fruitful. In Romans chapter 8, we love this verse, that God is able to work everything out. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, and we know that in all things, we trust that, don't we? We trust that, don't we? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Things sometimes that beset us, sometimes when we have backslidden, some things can work out where God can make things even better than they were before. I remember about 13 and a half years ago when my father lost his first leg. His right leg was amputated 7 inches below his knee. And I wondered how that would affect my dad. Some people, I have seen it, because there was a time when we used to have a lady that came that Harold would let into the pantry. And she came in a wheelchair one day, and she had lost her leg. She had about 12 inches below her knee. And she was really struggling with her prosthetic device. And I happened to mention to her, by then my dad had lost his other leg, and so he had 7 inches below each knee. And yet he would step into that neoprene sleeve every day, roll that thing all the way up to his thighs, step into his legs with that steel rod sticking down through the leg, clicking into place, and he'd start throwing his hips and off he would walk. He never let it bother him. He never let it slow him down. That meant that my dad's golf game was over. That's the truth. But my dad had to grow in other areas. He had to learn to be satisfied with doing other things. And so then he would enjoy going out and watching his sons and grandsons try to play golf while he drove the cart. But he spent more time with his family. Now, some of you might say, I would never want to lose a limb. I wouldn't either. But the question is, if I did, could I be a better Christian? If not, you don't believe Romans 8:28. And I know you're saying, well, that's a physical thing. Well, we live in a physical world, and we are physical beings trying to prove our faithfulness by our physicality, by what we do. But don't we believe that, and the key here, it says, and we know that in all things, look at the next two words after things, God works. We know that in all things, God works. It's not just the physical being that's struggling. It's God is working in that physical being's life to make them a better person, to make them more fruitful, to help them be more godlike. We want to close this morning in 2 Peter, the third chapter, where we began. Peter wants us to know for certain, don't have your hearts earthbound, earth-tied. Because the things of this earth aren't going to last. There's not anything that's going to last. I know it's been almost a month ago since the old blue beast, the old blue truck I drove got wrecked. And my sons texted me and says, oh, Dad, that's good news because now you get to get a new truck. And no, that's not good news because I don't want a car payment. I don't want that, but at some point it's going to have to be, because the little old maroon colored truck, I'm not going to tell you, it's a sissy truck if you ask my wife. It's going to give out too. And even if I got something new, do you know what's going to happen in 5 years? It's not going to look new. And if I buy something new, that means I'm going to have to go to the car wash and not let God wash it. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing that the things of this world are temporary, they're going to be destroyed, God calls us to live a godly life. He says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, that this earth is temporary, it is finite, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow
but grow
in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The challenge for this year, for all of us, and for us collectively, is to grow in ways that maybe we think we can't, but yet somehow God is going to be working. And since He is that husbandman from John 15 and verse 2, who prunes the vine to make it even more fruitful, God can prune you and me, and He will. The question is, what will we do with the pruning? Will we allow Him to work in us so that we can grow? We're glad you're here this morning. We hope that these words are encouraging to you, comforting to you, but we hope that they are also challenging to you. We trust God for this. We don't trust ourselves. We believe that God will do what His scriptures have said. Don't we, church? If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, God is looking for you. He wants the seed of the gospel to be planted in you so that you can be changed and transformed and to become a new being. Not just a being that lives here on earth, but a being that walks in the kingdom of God. Because you see, that's what Christians do. We live on this earth, but we walk in the kingdom of God. We're dwelling there. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you have never been baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, we're going to offer you the opportunity to make that beginning today, to make that choice today, that God will wash all your sins away, give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and add you to His church, the kingdom. But if there is a kingdom member that is needing our prayers, or a word of encouragement or help along the way, we're going to stand and sing this song, and we invite you to come while we stand and sing.